some insights in what Asaph had to say in Psalm 82, kind of just shakens us, really. But then there's a challenge, too. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. Well, it's generally recognized that modern missionary movement, you know, we think about missionaries, but it really basically got rolling in 1793 when the Baptist missionary William Carey went to India. He went there to convert the brethren and the heathen through translating the Bible into native languages. He brought the good news of Jesus to the people of India. While he was there, Carey observed ordinary people enduring great suffering and injustice. He couldn't just sit back and do nothing. He worked tirelessly to defend the weak and uphold the cause of the poor and rescue the weak and the needy, just like in Psalm 82. Crying out, for example, he campaigned for the human treatment of the leopards, who were often buried alive. But Nate, think about that. Oh, my goodness. He also helped abolish the suti, the practice of burning widows alive on the funeral pyres of their dead husbands, and made it illegal to leave sick and unwanted babies exposed to die. William Carey exemplified the character of the gods, as described in Psalm 82. That's a difficult psalm to read and to try to understand. There's no doubt about that. Although the main message is clear, the psalmist begins by describing God as a dwelling in the great assembly among the gods. Now, we only think about one God, one true God, but these are talking about gods with the little g. But what the assembly is, and who are these gods? There's two popular answers to these questions. And first, I don't know, but I want to examine them. The first view is that there are angels, and the great assembly is heaven. Job, in chapter 1, describes Satan as entering into the heavenly courts with the angels of the sons of the Most High. If this is correct, then maintaining justice and caring for the vulnerable is part of the angels' ministry. Some angels, however, failed to do so, and God punishment like that. He said, they will fall like every other ruler. Now, this might explain the presence of fallen angels or demons that's now in our world. I don't know that. But the second view that I found is this. It says the gods are human judges. Now, first work of the great assembly of Israel was to uphold justice and defend the cause of the weak. Now, I think it's very difficult to discern which view is correct. But whether God is rebuking heavenly hosts or earthly leaders, his complaint is clear. They have not cared for those in need. Wow, think about that. Well, the stands contrast to one of Jesus' best-known parables in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. A man is beaten and left to die, and he needs a rescuer. Two men, teachers and leaders of Israel and religious law, walk by, but a Samaritan, a Gentile, basically fulfills the will of God and rescues the weak. And Jesus commands us to go and do likewise. Now, I think the Bible does a very good job of telling us that we should do good to all people, especially in those of the household of faith, Galatians 6. But as the parable in Luke 10 instructs and Psalm 82 makes it very clear, this is not an optional extra for anyone who calls themselves a child of the living God. Wow, we are called to take care of one another and to lift up one another. That's what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, two are better than one. When one falls down, the other there to pick us up. That's a responsibility, I think, that God gave us as humans to look out for one another while we're here in this old world. He'll take care of us when we go to eternity, but while we're here, I don't know, we better start taking care of one another. You know, who are the weak, though, when you think about it? And who are the fatherless? Who is the poor? Who are oppressed? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. And the needy, where are they in the world? And how can God use us to help rescue them? Now, that's a big challenge. And I love missionaries. I think they do an excellent job. But, you know, we need missionaries in our own country anymore because we have kind of fallen away from understanding as God in our country and to help one another, to do one another. We have lost our way a little bit in this country. So maybe God needs to send us some missionaries. What do you think? Well, already did. They're into churches, and the churches aren't doing what they're supposed to. I don't want to get into that, but I understand. If you look at John chapter 10, where Jesus cites Psalm 82 that I just read, how does Jesus use that verse in John chapter 10 to support his claim to be God? Huh. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, right? And he's given us a mission. You know, it's amazing what God has done for us individually. I was talking to somebody today on the phone and how we are responsible. Jesus gave us a mission and a command to go into all the world, teaching them and baptizing in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we individually should be doing that. And we're not. Well, some of us are. We're trying, but we're not. We need, because we have an individual mission from God Almighty to help one another, to encourage one another, and to be able to take care of some things in this old world as we look forward to the world. Because Jesus gave us a promise. He said that this is my Father's mission, and it wasn't true. Oh, I would have told you, no, it's the mission, and I go then. If you take good care of people down here, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Now, one translation says mansions. I like to think about maybe many resting places, and that's the promise that we have and the hope that we have in Christ. So, as we look at the Psalms and we look at the New Testament and we look at the time of the year where we are in now, a time of epiphany, when we realize that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh and dwelt among us, boy, and we look at his ministry, I don't know. We need to be getting our stuff in gear again. Now, we need everybody. We need everybody's help. And I'm not saying that we can do miracles all by ourselves, but you know, when we can get together, and even in the things of our little church here at Bethel, you know, we're struggling with attendance, and it makes me crazy. I don't understand why, because I'm not the greatest preacher in the whole world, and I know that, but I'm teaching and preaching the same message that some of these guys are teaching and preaching. It's get 2,000-3,000 people in their worship services. Now, I know the music ministry has a lot to do with it. We don't have no professional music ministry, but we do kind of have a good time together in worship and planting seeds. But I digress. I have to do some humbleness in my own life, where it boils down to just one soul at a time. I don't need thousands of people. If I can minister to you and you can minister to somebody else, that's what we're supposed to do. We need each other. So I say that with, as I digress, I understand the Psalm of Asaph. And it said in verse 6, I say to you, you are gods and children of the Most High, but in death you're just mere men. You will fall as any prince. For all must die. That's humbling, but think about it. If we do what we're supposed to do and we accept Christ into our life and we have the gift of eternal life, yeah, in this old world, Jesus said, you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world, and we have the hope of eternal life. I like to paraphrase in closing what the Apostle Paul said. If we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ and his promise coming again, ha, we have hope. Hope in that God will grant us eternal life. Because after all, he created us to have a relationship with him. Well, we need to have that relationship while we're here on earth, but more importantly, we will be in the family of God forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me ramble on today. God loves you, and so do I.